Good question. I wonder if we've ever thought about that. What would life really be like if we just gave everything over to Jesus? Gave him our lives completely. Let him have full reign, full control over us. What would life really be like? Boy, I can only imagine. It would be wonderful. It would be glorious. Look at all the things that could be done in a positive way. Other souls saved, miracles occurring, wonderful things. But what I really want to talk about this morning is foolishness. What is foolishness? Doing something that's unwise, doing something that is not according to hoyle, so to speak, not according to the standards that we should be living up to, doing something that harms ourselves or harms others. Have you ever done anything that was foolish, unwise in your life? Ah, yes. I can't count the number of things that I've done, excuse me, in my life that have been foolish. In some cases, it hurt physically. In some cases, emotionally. In some cases, spiritually. I've done a lot of foolish things in my life, and I'm sure you have too. It's not the way God wants us to live our lives, but we're human. We do things that are unwise. And what is a fool? A fool is somebody that continually does foolish things. I mean, we all do foolish things from time to time. But someone who is, let's say, branded a fool, somebody just does it over and over and over and over again. So being a fool is not a good thing. Doing foolish things, not good either. And there are plenty of instances in the Bible that warn against being foolish. You can read Proverbs. There's a bunch of scriptures in Proverbs that speak about that. We also can read throughout the Bible instances where people have done foolish things. The Lord admonished some of the kings of both Judah and Israel when it was a divided kingdom, because instead of relying on him, they relied on their own devices. They made alliances with other nations that were ungodly. They did a lot of dumb things. You can read through the entire Bible and find, time after time, instances of foolishness. But yet, there is a good side. There is a good side. And if you put the scripture up, Donna, this is from 1 Corinthians. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So foolishness depends on how you define it in some respects. To the world, it's foolishness for us to come together on Sunday to worship God, because the world doesn't believe in God. The world can't see God. They don't pray, they don't get answers, they don't seek after him, so it's foolish. Scripture tells us that To unbelievers, the cross is foolishness, but yet it is the power of God. There are so many things that the world considers foolish, but yet God chooses those very things to shame the world, to prove to the world that it's not by their own methods that things are accomplished. Just as it says here, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. The wise of the world are arrogant. The wise of the world think they know it all. They have the answers. They know how to live. They know how to impose upon others their own standards that they think are the best. We see that a lot in politics and a lot of the laws that are passed, where the supposed wise of the world think that they know better, they know how you should live, rather than you be able to make your own decisions. God chooses the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Scripture says, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The world relies on its own strength, whether it's authority, whether it's armies, whether it's wealth, whatever. But God says, that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. People spend so much time trying to gather wealth. And for what? Can't take it with you. Just as you came into the world, you depart the world when your time comes. What's the point? There is no point. But they don't understand that. The things that are despised, those are the things God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. All of this is going to disappear someday. Yet people are focused on the things of the world. On power, prestige, celebrity, wealth, all these things. In God's eyes, that's all foolishness. But the things that the world considers foolish, God chooses. He chose each one of us. Who are we? We're nothing, right? We don't have great influence. We don't have great wealth. We don't have power. We don't have all the things that the world values. But yet God valued us and chose us to be part of his family. It's a wonderful thing. The things that the world considers foolish. There are a lot of stories in the Bible about that too. Wasn't Noah foolish in the eyes of the world? It had never rained before that time. And here he is, he and his sons building an ark. He must have received a lot of ridicule. That was foolish in the eyes of the world. But yet, it was only because of what he did that he saved his family when the floods came. And I can think about the tribes of Israel when they were freed from Egypt. They went into the wilderness. That was a foolish thing to do, right? There's nothing there. There's no water. There's no food. Nothing. Yet that's where they went because God told them to go there. And God provided for them. Right? He provided manna. He provided water from the rock. And he took care of them. He even provided meat for them. He had a big wind blow in quail, more than they could handle. He provided food. There's so many instances of things like that in the Bible. What about David, a young boy going out to fight Goliath, this big giant with all this armor on and a big sword and a big spear? And what does he do? He's got no armor whatsoever. He just goes running out there with a sling and a stone. Foolish. He was foolish. But God empowered him and strengthened him, and he killed the giant. I'm sure you can think of a lot of other stories, too, from the Bible. Foolish things that people had done. See, the world is backwards. They don't understand true wisdom. They don't understand why we come together. They think it's foolish. They won't do things like that. But we do. We do foolish things, don't we? We come to church. We worship God. We can't see Him. Like, we can't communicate with Him like we do one-on-one here, although we can pray and communicate with Him. And if our ears are open, we can hear Him when He speaks to us. He guides us in other ways, too. But the world considers that foolish. Well, that's fine. I'll be that kind of fool anytime. And we should be, too. We should be fools for Christ, shouldn't we? But how many of us are reluctant to do something beyond the ordinary for us? If God tells us to do something, how willing are we to be a fool for Him, to do something that the world considers foolish? It's an interesting question. That ties in with the video, in a sense. What would our life be like if we really did the foolish thing and just gave everything over to the Lord? Our entire heart, our will, everything. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do. And the world would consider that foolish, to sell out completely to God. But in a sense, that's what He's calling us to do. The more we die to self, the more we live to Him. And the more He empowers us and strengthens us and gives us spiritual gifts to glorify Him and to bless one another. There are many things in Scripture that talk about that. About these spiritual gifts, gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, gifts of miracles, all sorts of wonderful things. But how many of us, if God told us to, would go, for example, to lay hands on someone and pray that the Lord would heal them and that they would be healed? How many of us would do that? I pray that we come to the place where we will do that and can do that. As I've said a number of times before, Scripture tells us, Jesus Himself said, you see the works that I do? Well, greater than these will you do, because I go to be with my Father, but you will have the Holy Spirit living within you. There's no greater power in the universe than the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we gave ourselves completely over to the Lord to be fools for Christ, that power would more readily flow out of us in various ways. Miracles would happen. God would be glorified. Others would be drawn to Christ. This place would be full if people saw the miracles like that happening. It's not something that we can make happen, but we can make ourselves available. We can say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to be a fool for you. Work it in me I give you my heart. Help me. Every time you ask something of me, for me to just surrender to you and just do what you want me to do, come what may. That's the place to start. The more we give of ourselves to him, the more his life is lived through us. The more his life empowers us and strengthens us. That's what we need to do. Make the decision to give ourselves over to him. Let him lead us. Let him take us where he may. And we'll see things happen. Mighty things. What more can I say? The choice is ours. What do we want in life? What do we really want? Do we just want to get by? And then when the time comes, get to heaven, say, hey, I made it. Or do we really want to live the abundant life, the power-filled life, the life that changes others and changes things around us, that causes people to see Jesus in us because he shines through so brightly? Is that what we want? Or do we just want to get by? I'll tell you, there's all too many people in the body of Christ that are just happy to get by because they're saved. Hey, that's a great thing. And it is. It's a wonderful thing. But I don't want to have to stand before my Father in heaven or before Jesus when he's on his throne and have to say to him, I didn't give my all to you. I didn't give you everything I had. I didn't give you my entire life. I held it back. I didn't deny myself like you asked me to and took up my cross. That's what Jesus says. Take up our cross daily. What would our life be like if we did that? Something to ponder. Think about it. Think about it. And see what the Lord is calling you to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's not an easy thing to do. Because self-preservation and wanting our own way and our own will is so ingrained in us that it's hard to just say, Lord, I surrender completely. But yet that is what you are asking us to do. Help us, Lord, in our weakness, to take a firm stand for you and say, Lord, I'm yours. You have bought me with a price, the precious blood of the Lamb. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to you. Help me, Lord, so that I don't resist your call. Help me, Lord, that I don't struggle with wanting my own way. But help me to live my life according to the way you want it lived. Yield it to you, Lord, in every way. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. It's not burdensome. And that's true. We have preconceived ideas about what it would be like, what you might call us to do, where you might send us, and how ill-prepared we feel so many times. Not realizing, of course, that you have promised us that whatever we need will be provided when we need it. Help us, Lord, to take that stand for you, to yield ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Work through us. And I pray that you would bless each and every one of us, Lord, in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.